The King of Bonds abruptly switches kingdoms.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California and is supported by Kronos, offering cloud-based workforce management solutions to help organizations of all types and sizes achieve their strategic goals. More at Kronos.com. Kronos, workforce innovation that works.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. What's an analogy if ever Warren Buffett were to quit Berkshire Hathaway? There's news that Bill Gross, the man who built California-based PIMCO into one of the biggest money managers in the world, is moving to Janus Capital, effective immediately. In what must be an overstatement, Janus's biggest shareholder called this a black swan event, something so unlikely it wasn't worth even thinking about. Marketplace's Noel King has been looking into this development that is the talk of financial markets this morning.
Gross, whose management of PIMCO earned him the nickname the Bond King, is moving on to Janus Capital Group. His departure from PIMCO comes as the firm is facing some tough questions. It confirmed this week that it is under investigation by the SEC about whether it artificially inflated the returns of a particular type of fund, an ETF or exchange-traded fund, which Gross managed. ETFs, which trade like stocks, are a ballooning part of the bond market. The SEC is looking into whether PIMCO bought investments at discounted rates but failed to acknowledge the low purchase prices, making it appear as if the ETFs had seen rapid gains when, in fact, they hadn't. PIMCO denies wrongdoing in the matter. The firm said in a statement today that it had, quote, fundamental differences with Gross about the future of the company.
Marketplace's Noel King, thank you. Let's check the numbers now. The Dow is up 71 points, so better than yesterday. It's up 0.4% at the moment. The NASDAQ Composite Index up 0.3%, a similar percentage rise for the S&P 500 Index. 100 years ago today, the Federal Trade Commission was born when President Woodrow Wilson signed the Federal Trade Commission Act into law. Since then, the agency has played an outsized role in the U.S. economy, and it's fair to say it has affected all of us. From Washington, Marketplace's David Gura reports.
The Federal Trade Commission's mandate is to prevent business practices that are anti-competitive, that are deceptive or unfair. David Thomas worked there in the early 2000s.
I don't think the mission of the FTC has changed really at all.
What has changed over the last century is the agency's focus.
When new issues arise in the American economy, the FTC has the tools to deal with them.
Bill McLeod also used to work at the agency. Now he heads the antitrust practice at the law firm Kelly Dry. He says the commission pays a lot of attention to technology, to data security, to virtual currencies like Bitcoin.
The FTC today is as different as the means and media of communication are today.
The FTC still has to approve mergers. That's a responsibility it shares with the Justice Department. Right now, it's considering some big ones, including the real estate sites Zillow and Trulia, and Cisco's proposed merger with U.S. Foods. In Washington, I'm David Gura for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Allianz, providing travel insurance and assistance to over 9 million Americans through its affiliated companies in the U.S., AllianzUSA.com, and by CSX, whose trains can move a ton of freight nearly 450 miles on 1 gallon of fuel. CSX, how tomorrow moves. Marketplace's coverage of wealth and poverty issues is supported by the Ford Foundation, working with visionaries on the front lines of social change worldwide. More at FordFoundation.org.
Now time for the Marketplace Inflation Calculator. As Marketplace celebrates its 25th birthday this year, we're looking at the surprising, sometimes delightful, and sometimes destructive ways that prices have changed during that quarter century. After a 1989 Sears catalog showed up from eBay, it opened to reveal that a medium-capacity window air conditioner in 80s-style faux-wood paneling could be had for $300 back then. Factor in inflation, and that's like $575 now, an equivalent 8,000 BTU window AC unit, again from Kenmore, today, goes for just $219. But although the price tag is way cheaper in real terms, here's the concern when it comes to household budgets and climate change. When something like this gets so much cheaper, it changes our behavior.
Economists have used the term rebound effect to describe this. At its simplest, it's just the idea that when something gets cheaper, we consume more of it. The demand curves slope down. And so it makes sense that, for example, as air conditioners get cheaper, we're going to buy more of them and use them more.
Lucas Davis is an economist who follows energy policy at UC Berkeley's Haas School of Business. He and colleagues found that's what happened in Mexico when there was a push on for energy-efficient air conditioners there. The U.S., however, may have a different dynamic.
You've had enormous improvements in energy efficiency. You've also had big increases in the number of things that we have in our homes that use electricity, and the two have balanced each other during this period.
I fell down a rabbit hole of government energy numbers, and where equilibrium has really been reached is the electric bill itself. The Bureau of Labor Statistics has a survey showing the average household spent an inflation-adjusted equivalent of $1,386 on electricity in 1989. Last year, the average was just $36 more a year. Amazingly close. But don't blame air conditioning, even for that modest increase in electricity bills. Even though the percentage of households that have AC has skyrocketed since Marketplace went on the air. In the most recent period where stats are available, people spent $237 a year on electricity specifically for AC cooling. On average, whole country, rich and poor, hot climates and cold. In 1989, adjusted for inflation, people spent $321 on power for the AC. In other words, the average household is paying less now for AC than in 1989.
State-of-the-art engineering means greater energy efficiency. A new Kenmore could save 10 to 44% on your annual cooling costs.
More efficient cooling systems, yes, and the Great Recession may have distorted the stats some, but a big reason is that the real cost of electricity has fallen almost 15% per kilowatt hour between 1989 and last year. Radically cheaper AC units down at Sears are just icing on the cake. For some further fun and deeper context about numbers like these, there's a Marketplace live show if you're in New York City October 16th. Kai Rizdahl and I will be there. Info about tickets at 92y.org. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
Outside of Las Vegas, the gaming industry is deep in the red, but that's not fazing investors in New Jersey.
Part of this is it's really the only hope for Atlantic City, because part of this proposal would produce $1 billion over 10 years.
I'm Kai Rizdahl, rolling the dice in the Garden State next time on Marketplace. It's from APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.